It's time to know your lane.
How about the gear Belichick wears to the post-game press conference?
It's like a boy's small sweater with cut-off sleeves.
He was awesome.
And he's got no jacks whatsoever.
Not, any.
Pipe cleaners.
What are you talking about?
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, and Noodles running off to do TV. He'll be back here in a moment. Bobby Webster, the GM of the Raps, will join us here in about 5 minutes. Lots of drama league-wide. So, you and I, we both believe that he's probably basking in the drama. He probably loves reading about it and hearing about it, but is he willing to go on the record and admit to it?
Well, when you're in management, the last thing you want about your team is to be the circus. Who wants to wake up every day? Everyone has a pulse. All executives have a pulse on the whole league, what's going on. You don't want your team to be the focus of a gong show. And it must be comforting saying, I'm glad I'm not there.
And furthermore, what I want to ask him, and I definitely, definitely don't believe he's going to give me an honest answer on this. How happy is he that the team that is hosting the majority of the drama and the controversy is Cleveland? The team you've got to beat. Mm-hmm. The dragon you've got to slay.
It would be like for Blue Jays fans, just the Yankees having an absolute sideshow after beating your asses for so many years.
It's exactly what you need. Because if this controversy and this drama was happening in Milwaukee, which it is, they just fired their coach yesterday, they're not really on the Raptors' radar. Even Boston, who's a very good team, they've had a couple of good years in a row, and they're going to win the East, and they're formidable, and they very well could end up representing the East in the NBA Finals. If it happened there, it wouldn't be as big of a story or as big of a deal. Because it's Cleveland that appears to be unraveling, it makes it so much more intriguing if you're someone in Toronto, let alone the GM of a team that has not been able to hop over that hurdle for years. And we mentioned this LeBron James Instagram post earlier this afternoon. It is one of the stranger Instagram posts I've ever come across. I know this is a new trend in the Players Tribune.
It's just
writing
so
to your
off
former
the charts,
self.
Though. You're recognized as one of the greatest players. I don't know. Maybe it's someone that knows him should have wrote it or something.
That I could understand. If he posted something on Instagram and said...
I don't know, if someone else posted it and said, LeBron, I'm writing this to your younger self.
Well, that's true, too. But I'm saying even if he jumped on and said, this next post on my account, my wife is going to write this. Or my kids, or whatever, my best friend is going to write this.
Trust me, Brian, if you're in a situation like LeBron James is, or Kobe was, or Michael Jordan... I mean, who's the best player in baseball? The kid in Washington, Bryce Harper.
Harper,
if you're Tiger Woods. When you started to get the treatment that they've been getting, it's almost impossible not to turn into a bit of a donkey.
I totally expect that. I don't hold that against anyone that's at the top of their profession that they're going to be arrogant, especially in sports when we treat these guys like gods. I don't expect him to be humble, but hide the arrogance a little bit better is what I'm saying. Put some camouflage on the arrogance, because LeBron is going to reach 30,000 points tonight, which is a remarkable accomplishment. I believe only 6 players in NBA history have reached that mark. It's an incredible accomplishment. He's one of the great players of all time. He should cherish tonight. He should cherish this kind of an opportunity, and once it happens, he should appreciate it. After it happens, LeBron jumps on Instagram today and says, quote, "Want to be one of the first to congratulate you on this accomplishment tonight that you'll reach. Only a handful of players have reached it. While I know it's never been a goal of yours from the beginning, please try to take a moment for yourself on how you've done it." He's talking
He's
to himself.
He's pumping his own tires to himself.
Hey, you, some random, I know this wasn't your original goal, but please take advantage of it now that you've met that goal that wasn't apparently ever in the back of your mind.
You should post an Instagram post to yourself during the radio show tomorrow or before. Just a little to Peter Griffith.
Yes.
Just say, just to let you know, your show's become a hit. You're not fat anymore. You're awesome. Who knew you could do this? I'll do it. I'll post it for you.
Okay, you post it for me because I can't peel off these takes on LeBron and then circle back.
But instead of little king, or I'm going to say, hey, big boy, you're not so big anymore.
You can call me big boy whenever you want. Whenever you want, buddy. Yeah, I just, listen, I've always been a big supporter of LeBron. I've been called a LeBron apologist, but this is the most absurd Instagram post of all time.
Really, little things drive you nuts, though, don't they?
They do.
See, I look at it and I say, it's kind of goofy.
I just don't understand what you're trying to accomplish here.
When I first saw it, I thought it was his son playing basketball, and I'm thinking to myself, hey, son, you're playing right now. Take your time to enjoy what your dad's doing here. And then I come in here and you're freaking out because it's not even the son.
No, it was a picture of him when he was like 15. I just don't get it, man. I just don't get it. All right, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is the GM of the drama-free Toronto Raptors. Here's Bobby Webster. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Bobby, we were just talking about some of the drama going around the NBA. Do you guys sit as executives or just friends and peers and gossip about it, chat about it, discuss it, or is it just, that's their problem, not ours, we just want to keep things moving here? Don't lie,
yeah.
Either.
No, you listen, as a fan, you follow it and you you kind of put your fan cap on and look at it through that lens. But mainly, you know, focused on ourselves, drama free. Try to keep things in house and just move from there.
You just mentioned in house, and it's such a popular phrase among sports teams. What do you think is key for everybody in your organization to do that? I mean, there's drama in all situations. There's players' egos, there's salaries involved. I mean, everybody's got a bit of an ego, regardless of what position you're in. But how do you achieve that goal of keeping everything in-house?
You know, I think it sounds a little cliche, but it's true. And you guys know it. And you know, any line of work is, you got to communicate, you got to have trust. You know, you can agree as a group to not say anything, but if people don't trust each other, if people aren't communicating and feel like, you know, they're all in it together. So I think it starts probably from a lot earlier than just when the drama happens and then trying to keep something under wraps. It's more about, you know, building it from the start and saying, listen, how are we going to build the organization? What are the things we're going to value? So that when things do happen, everyone's in the right place and everybody's prepared.
We've talked a lot about the Cleveland Cavaliers over the years on this show, and this year it feels like we've talked more about the drama off the court and what's going on with that team recently than we have in terms of their success, because there hasn't been much success. And we love it. You know, from a Raptors standpoint, we love it. We just asked you, I mean, are you tracking this kind of stuff? Is it something that can benefit you guys more so if it actually is happening to a team like Cleveland? Because those are clearly... That's clearly the team you guys are chasing. You've been chasing them for years.
Right. They're the chance until they're not. And so, you know, it's a measuring stick for us every year. And it's been a measuring stick for us at the end of every year. So as you mentioned, we're fairly in tune with what's going on over there. I think, you know, we care about what happens on the court. We care about, you know, who the players are and what's going on between the lines. Because as you mentioned, there's a lot of drama going on a lot of teams, and just because it gets out doesn't mean that it's not happening on other teams. So we try and narrow our focus more to the basketball side of things.
As for on the court, you guys have had some dust-ups over the past couple of weeks. A suspension, a couple of fines, some requests to meet in a back room that didn't necessarily end up actually happening or materializing. How do you draw the line as an organization and as a team of being an aggressive, physical team that's there to play with a chip on your shoulder, but also not crossing that line to a point where you're undisciplined or you're easy to provoke?
Right. You don't want to have the reputation that you're, you know, you can get in someone's head. But I think we love the passion. I think that's what, you know, what makes us love our players and what makes the fans love our guys. And so there is that line, and unfortunately, you know, it does get crossed from time to time. But I think as long as it doesn't, it's not excessive, it's not something that consistently happens, I think we kind of have the trust and confidence in our players that, you know, people will slip up here and there, but it's not something that's who we are, part of our organization.
It's kind of being leaked out there that Kyle Lowry is most likely going to be a name to the All-Star team or one of the representatives from the Raptors. How proud are you guys that, you know, your two guys are seem to get into a rhythm here of going on a consistent basis and represent the Raptors. It seems to be a big deal to the players. Covering different sports like the NHL All-Star Game, nobody really wants to go or cares about it, but it seems to be important for these guys to make sure they're there.
Well, definitely. I mean, it legitimizes what we're trying to do and what we've built for the past, you know, few years here. I think the announcement happens at 7, and so hopefully Kyle gets in. But putting that aside, those, you know, Kyle and DeMar are clearly our two leaders, and we go when they go. And so for them to have a sustained level of success is really special for both of them and for the organization and the city and the country.
With Bobby Webster, GM of the Raps, last year Kyle went to the All-Star game. He was a bit banged up. I believe he had a thumb injury. He came back, and he didn't play for 4 or 5 weeks after that. This year he's had some bumps and bruises. He just had the back contusion a week ago. At what point would you as a GM have to step in and say, we as a team don't want you going to the All-Star game?
I don't think that would happen. I think it's an honor that he's deserved, and if he's lucky enough to get selected, that's his right. And I think that it's the way he plays. You guys all see it. We wouldn't want to, similar to the conversation about being passionate on the court, that's who he is. He's going to throw himself around. He's going to go after loose balls. He's going to go after, 50-50 balls. And if you try and rein any of that back, then you lose a little bit of who Kyle is. So,
with Bobby Webster, Raps GM, you guys are coming off a 7-game stretch here where you played all 7 teams above 500. You went 3-4 over that stretch. It was a difficult stretch. You used the term measuring stick just a couple of minutes ago. Your head coach is not necessarily willing to throw that out when you guys played the Cavs in Golden State. How do you approach the regular season? There's so much focus on where you guys are going. We know you're going to be a playoff team. You're going to have home court in the first round. I mean, in terms of the growth, because the style of play and the philosophy of the coaching staff, it's been on display. You guys are clearly bringing it this year offensively and defensively. But in terms of the growth, how much have you seen over the course of the year, and how much do you base it simply on who you're playing against?
You touched on a bunch of things there. So there definitely are portions in the schedule where you kind of like, hey, this is a good stretch here where it's a bunch of good teams in a row. And so you might watch a little closer on in those games. And then on an individual basis, whether it's, some of your young guys or the bench, how are they growing, right? Have they grown since the beginning of the year? Has DeMar and Kyle grown in ways that, we've talked about and we've had conversations with them. Have the coaching staff grown? And I think across the board, to your point, everyone's grown. And so it's good to see it, but I think it's, a little more nuanced in the sense of everybody grows. There's a different measuring stick for each person and group of players.
Back in action tomorrow night. We're looking forward to it. As always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for doing this, Bobby.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
There's Bobby Webster, GM of the Raps, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Lease the fully loaded 2018 Toyota Corolla LE for zero down and only $127 plus tax biweekly at Maple Toyota, right next to Wonderland. The official announcement of the All-Star Game reserves will be at 7 p.m., but it does look as if, based on some sources and reports out there, maybe Kyle Lowry will be a part of this. That's not surprising. I think most people are bracing themselves for him being a part of this All-Star Game again. So that means Kyle and DeMar, we already know DeMar's going. And as you said, that's 3-4 years in a row they're both going. So they've achieved everything they could possibly achieve during the regular season.
I'm thinking long and hard about going to the Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah.
Based on what?
I just want to go. But I got to weasel a ticket from somebody. I got to think of my sources, connections.
This guy played in Minnesota.
Do you know a Bobby Big Wheel?
I know.
You know somebody.
I know somebody, actually. In the break, I'll tie it into you, but I don't want to circle it back on you because I know you're going to harass that person. And then and now it's going to affect the relationships.
Yeah, I would.
Do I know the person you're talking?
Yes, you do.
Chaser?
Nope. We'll talk in the...
Who's a big shooter in Minnesota?
No one.
No. Okay, do you want to...
Call up Bruce Boudreau.
Aubrey. Works with one of the guys that's going to the Super Bowl.
Thing is...
Is Aubrey going to the Super Bowl?
I don't know. We're talking about a random
guy that people don't know.
Exactly.
Should we call Brucey?
Call up Bruce Boudreau and see if he's willing to hook you up. I would think Bruce could get into the Super Bowl if they're in town and he wants to go.
I think that's a stretch. I mean, I don't mind bugging people for a hoodie or a t-shirt. Brucey, how's it going? Can you get me Super Bowl tickets?
Hello.
His face would go furnace face on me.
Yeah, he would have a Game 7 face pretty quickly on you. But I don't know. I mean, this is the Super Bowl we're talking about. You can't, like, the higher-ups in society have a tough time getting tickets. Just knowing a guy who knows a guy, I'm not sure that's going to cut it.
Well, I could say I got the first win for the Minnesota Wild. What does that get me? Feathers.
Jack.
Exactly. Feathers.
It should get you something.
Well, I'm sure I could make a phone call. I know a few people there. Like, but I'm not going.
You were the original Marc-Andre Fleury. He's stealing your act in Vegas.
Except my stats were a little thinner than his.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
He's ripping you off.
He's not. They're playing very well, and we had a team that the talent pool was a lot thinner. Think about the talent pool this time around. Who was our James Neal for the Minnesota Wild? Wes Walls? Scott Pellerin? Like, we had, you know, Marian Gaborik was an 18-year-old, and he's had a great career. He's a hell of a player, but he was 18. But if you look at that roster, it was quite thin. Quite thin.
Well, I thought the same thing looking at this Vegas roster before the year, so...
Well,
you know,
but,
yeah, James Neal's the real deal.
But
Marchessault, he scores a lot.
Like, Perron's had a good career. Like,
yeah, Riley,
like,
Nate Smith's a good player.
A good
Bill
player.
Carlson. Like, yeah. These are good players. Shea Theodore, good player. Nate Schmidt, good player.
But you know
Colin
what you
Miller,
get?
Good player. But you not know, great players.
But that's the thing. You know what you get when you get a bunch of good players? A good team. There's no weak links on that team.
Conceivably, but usually you need a superstar at some point.
I'm not defending it.
It's not about defending. I don't even know how to explain it. I still don't, and I've been watching them for 50 games.
Well, it all started with their first game when Marc-Andre Fleury stood on his head.
And then he got concussed, and he left for like 2 months.
Yeah, and they were down to their fourth goalie. Their fifth goalie, their junior call-up, Dylan Ferguson, got 10 minutes in Edmonton in an 8-2 drubbing in one of their only losses.
Remember coming in the next day and saying, this is
here
when the
is.
Tide turns.
Yeah.
Vegas is going south, and Edmonton's going north. And nothing changed. It was a one-off. Bob McKenzie will join us, our hockey insider, on some of the shocking storylines throughout the league. His take on the Leaf game last night, goaltender interference in the review process. Does anyone know what a goal is? See if Bobby Mack has an answer on that next. Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider, brought to you by Finance It in Studio. What's happening, Bob?
Hey, boys. How you doing?
All good.
We're doing pretty well. Always trying to find his way down to the Super Bowl. Do you have any connections with the NFL or in Minnesota?
He may know somebody, but he may go.
No, I'm not going.
Or maybe Mike or Sean.
When you say connections, you want to go for free?
I would prefer that.
Yeah, well,
no chance.
I don't have connections.
I've got connections.
I mean, I'll pay, but I don't want to pay $3,700 per ticket.
Yeah, I don't know. I always tell people if you do have an in for tickets, it's always bad form to ask how much the ticket is. So you just got to kind of like, you put your request in, and then they come back and they give you what they got. Then whatever the price tag is, then you're kind of on the hook for it.
That happened to me in the finals.
You know the drill is.
Well, that happened to me in the finals, which is fine because I knew I was playing. But when I first started with TSN, the game in Vancouver, game 7 against Boston, had a buddy on the Bruins. I said, can you leave me two? He said, yeah, no problem. I'll leave you mine. Those were $560 each or something.
So were you thinking they were free at the time?
No, not at all. I knew I was paying. I just had no idea what the ticket was. A Stanley Cup final ticket. And like,
$1,100.
They're not giving these away.
Yeah.
I took two. I think they were $565 each. They were great seats, lower bowl. And I watched Timmy Thomas just put a clinic on.
And like, then you ran for your life.
Yeah, you weren't getting a pee. But they could still be playing. They wouldn't have scored that night. He was unreal that night. But, yeah, it was a good over $1,100.
Well, and the riots afterwards, I don't even remember the details of the game. Like, the only thing I can remember is the riots.
4-0. I think they lost 4-0.
I think they probably did. I don't know. But you mentioned Tim Thomas's play. I don't remember that at all.
He was unreal. But, I mean, it's so funny when you look back on that. Luongo got rinsed. They didn't score a goal. Like, it's funny how Bobby Lou was kind of run out of town there.
Brad Marchand was so good that game.
Marchand, do you remember, was it a couple games before Marchand had roughed up one of the Sedins? And there was no reaction whatsoever. Exactly. And that was one of my buddies who played for the Bruins that said, they were down in the series 3-2, and he said to me after the game, we got them. We got these guys.
Mm-hmm.
They went back and won game six and then won.
Well, they won game six big too, didn't they? Wasn't it like 8-0 or something like that? It was bad. Racing,
and then they went back and won 4-0.
Anyway.
I always remember that for game seven before we were across the way. And some place, I forget what it was.
It was like Olympic Gardens.
It was like it was some place that had a nice setup so that when we did the panel, the rink and across the water was the rink and everything else looked really cool. And there was a lot of glass doors everywhere. And we were like less than 5 minutes to air. And they said, okay, come on, we got to get ready. And so Ray Ferraro had just finished getting some makeup done. And Ray literally sprinted towards the set. And there was a glass wall. And poor Ray hit that thing hard. Sorry. Hard. And he blew his nose wide open, man. It was... He broke his nose, or if he didn't break it, it was close to it. And poor Ray, and so then we had we're literally a minute or two to the hit, and Aaron Ward was there, and he was ready. He was supposed to just go on for That's Hockey at 7 o'clock, whatever, and so we had to throw him into the seat in a moment's notice. And there was I always remember Dregs, of course. Dregs goes in. There was a picture of, there was literally an imprint of Ray's face. It looked like the Chicago Blackhawk logo on the glass where the makeup of his face had hit and his nose had turned sideways. So it looked like a profile. And Dregs was taking pictures and tweeting it out. So.
Ray would have handled that so well, too. And that's
he actually was a trooper. He knows how to play hurt.
He came back and did the late hit that night.
He's got his nose is out this. He's got two black eyes. He's got tape. And
I got a phone call from Jeff Mock because I was there, too. And he said, can you go back to the hotel and get your suit because Ray got hurt. We may need
and
you.
And you said, no, I'm drunk.
I was like, no, I'm... five beers deep and a couple of vodkas. I'm like, hey. He goes, well, you know what? He goes, stop drinking, and then we'll see.
By then, you'll be okay.
That's the TSN standard. That's great.
I mean, but I was done my work for the day, so I'd been drinking. Like, that was it. I was gonna sit back and be a fan and enjoy myself. And I had a late lunch with Michael Landsberg, and a couple drinks, not him, but me. I was enjoying myself.
He doesn't drink. Nailing back cocktails.
At a breakfast place, I had pancakes and beer, I think.
That's sober up, we might need you tonight.
That's what I got the call on.
That's what you want to hear.
Oh, well.
Anyways,
we've been talking about the Leaf game last night, and obviously people are focused on the non-goal that we all think was a goal. Ultimately, it was irrelevant because Matthews scored the next shift anyway. But goaltender interference, this has always been the problem for me, Bob, is that I walk away as confused as I was when I first saw it.
And maybe this is because I'm a nerd, and I talk to...
Come to the show on Friday.
What show is that?
Revenge of the Nerds. Masters and Siegel are going to be in here. Oh,
very good. I'll take a pass. I was watching it, and my initial reaction, very quickly when I looked at it, was... this is going to count. And the reason I thought it was going to count is because there's a real simple principle involved. And if the puck is in the crease, then the player, the attacking player, is entitled to go in and get it. And if in the process of going in to get that loose puck, he makes contact with the goalie, as long as it's not as long
egregious.
As you drill him into the net.
Right.
But that's a goal. That is a goal. And that's what I initially thought. I said, okay, this is going to be a goal because the puck was already in the crease. And so Matthews' contact with the goalie is incidental, and he's entitled to that puck. And if he roughs up Bernier a little bit, so be it. That's hockey. And then I watched the replay a little closer, and what I realized was that when the contact was made, the puck was, if it was in the crease, it hadn't gone in yet. So in other words, the contact... whether it was initiated by Bernier or not, it doesn't even matter, because once you're in the blue and there's no puck clearly in the crease, that goalie's going to get the call 99% of the time.
See, my thing, Bobby, was they always say the goaltender's got to be allowed to do his job.
Yeah.
But well, when the puck went behind Bernier, Bernier was looking at his family and friends in the front row, and it was like he didn't even make an attempt to do his
right,
job.
Right, but the, here's the thing. He was physically taken out of the play before that puck got behind him. If that puck was behind him and Matthews kind of careened through him to get to the puck and put it in, I'd agree with you 100%. But the rules as I understand them, as soon as I saw that and I saw that
the overhead,
the very first contact that Matthews and Bernier made, it wasn't to get a loose puck in the crease. It was just to establish position.
I love how Babb said half the coaches text him.
You know what the coaches are? I'm doing him even
half of them. Half of them don't even like him enough to text.
I find
him.
That hard to believe myself.
You'd be surprised how quick the coaches.
Union.
I've got the midseason. I'm doing a midseason coaches poll. Bunch of stuff. You know, midseason award winners, who will win the cup type thing. Results will be out in a couple of days. But one of the questions, two of the questions that I was asking. And I was asking before, I put it out like a day or two ago, so it was before last night's game, is goalie interference coach's challenge. Keep it, can it, or modify it? And then I did the same thing, offside coach's challenge, keep it, can it, or modify it. It's interesting. So far I got 23 responses, so there's only 8 to go, and I hope to get most of those before the week is out. Of the 23 guys... I'm trying to do this from memory because I don't have the sheet in front of me. But on the offside, they really hate the offside challenge.
Can it? A lot?
There are two guys that want to keep it. There were like seven, eight guys that want to can it entirely. And then there were like 14 or whatever that want to modify it. And then there are, on the goalie interference, it's a little more even. I think there were 11 of the 23 want to keep it. Two want to can it, and most of them want to modify it. And the modification that most of the coaches want to make is they want to take it back out of the referee's hands. They don't want the referee making the call. They want hockey ops in Toronto making the call.
So just call goal and then just say go to Toronto.
Go goal, and then if there's a challenge, then let the hockey ops guy do it. They think there'll be more consistency from things. See, because I will say this in defense of the referees. When we brought in goalie interference... And there's always a perception, if you're going to go to video review, then you're going to get it right 100% of the time or 99% of the time. This is still a subjective thing. It's not black and white. It's a referee deciding, being forced to check his work. And it's up to the referee to decide, do I want to change my mind or do I want to stick with my ruling? And so it's just another call in the game. And every referee call over the course of a game is highly subjective.
How do you think the refereeing community would have reacted to Matthews, his goal celebration last night? I thought it was brilliant. I love that.
I thought
kind
it was fantastic. And you know what?
But refs can get pretty...
Yeah, they could. But you know what? They shouldn't have a problem with it. I mean, he's being emphatic and...
passionate.
And I thought it was really cool. The photograph of the referee pointing and Matthews right near him,
at the same time.
It'd be awesome to be one of those people's faces on the glass for like a memento for your baseball.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I thought it was a great moment, and especially because when they disallowed it, he gave the eye roll like, oh no.
Yeah,
and the next shift out, he scores and it's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I thought it was
that
great.
To me is what sports is all about.
Exactly,
that's the fun stuff that we should enjoy about it, and I can't imagine that referees would be too upset by it, and if they are, that's their problem, I think, not anybody else's.
There's been so much focus on Vegas and how surprising that story's been this year, and it speaks for itself. They're first overall on January 23rd or 24th. It's incredible. But that's not the only shock. I mean, Colorado's won 10 games in a row. Mm-hmm. They barely won 10 games all of last year. They were horrific a year ago. Erik Karlsson is an absolute disaster right now. Yeah. McDavid and Crosby, neither of them in the top five. Philly lost 10 games in a row. They've battled back, and they're into a playoff spot. Like, it's been a wild ride this season.
It really has. Like, when you're talking about the best players in the game, and I'm doing midseason award coaching polling right now, and I mean, it's not Crosby and McDavid and Karlsson who are getting the best player votes. It's Nathan MacKinnon and Nikita Kucherov and Patrice Bergeron And, you know, the top defenseman is not Carlson. Doughty's getting a lot of support, but so is Hedman and some of the other guys. So it's a fascinating year from that perspective. And it's really across the board. The great teams aren't as great as they have been in the past. The good teams this year are surprising. And, you know, the great players aren't as great as they have been.
Of all the teams that suck, whether that be Ottawa, Chicago, Montreal, Edmonton, when do you think these teams publicly will come out and say, this year is a write-off? For almost all the I just mentioned, it is. But when do they come forward and say,
some of them need to start planning for next year? Some of them never will actually come out and publicly say it, but they'll do it with actions. So, you know, as you get closer to the trade deadline, you see who's selling, who they're selling, and so
Has anybody ever come out and said we're done?
Well, what's John Chyka going to say? If you got him on the spot and said, are you done?
You're literally
in Arizona
or
Buffalo.
Somebody to go. Like,
yeah, I hear you. But
they've been done since the first month of the season.
Right.
Yeah, those teams
have
been
done. Because the hole they dug themselves was so deep.
But Chicago is in uncharted territory from the past decade. Like, they are in a weird spot. Like
they're last in their division.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
And they keep falling further, and they're getting spanked.
Well, they're losing.
Again, that's their problem.
Show me bad goaltending.
That's right, but like, it doesn't matter. The goaltending's not there.
That's where they are.
So they're out of it, more than likely. Now, maybe they got a big run in them.
Well,
I don't know.
You never know. They could have a run. You know, Crawford started to skate again.
I don't buy into the narrative. Like if LA would have sold off everything this summer because they had a bad season last year, they wouldn't be where they are now. Like I say, Quick missed 59 games. Doughty had a bad season. Kopitar had a bad season.
Well, Jamie, usually I would say for the Blackhawks, it might be good for them to kind of miss the playoffs.
Right.
Much like in L.A., rest, kind of retool, regroup. But they kind of did that last year. They got thumped 4 straight by Nashville.
Yeah. 8 days into the playoffs, they were on the course.
That's right. So it's not like they had an extended.
And you've got such a high bar, and, you know, you've got ownership and the hierarchy above Stan Bowman and Joel Quenneville that are like, no, we are not missing the playoffs. Find a way to get us in there.
Well,
I got news for you. You are.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. I mean, they're 9 points back of St. Louis.
If Jeff Glass...
What is it for the wild card, though?
I think they're... Let me find it right here. They are 7 out of a wild card.
And how many games in hand do they have?
They don't. Colorado's got a game in hand on them.
How many teams do they have to climb over?
Anaheim, LA, Minnesota, and then Colorado and Dallas are the wild card.
But you know what? Like, 7's a lot to make up, especially in the world of 3-point games. But I'm just saying, that's a rollable situation. That if a team did get on a roll, and some of these other teams, because here's the thing, Colorado's full value. Give them full credit for what they've done. But they're in the wild card spot right now, and they've won 10 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when they don't win 10 in a row? What happens if they play 500 hockey for a little bit? Is there somebody behind them? Minnesota hasn't gone on a roll yet. They've had a lot of injuries.
Anaheim's had a weird season, too.
Anaheim dealt with a lot of injuries in the first half of the season. You've got some teams right behind you there that are capable of winning like 8 of 10. And if you get a team like that, combined with somebody else who goes to 500, you do start to make up 7 points fairly quickly.
Well, Pittsburgh's that version on the other side of the league, right? Yeah. In the East, where they're technically out of a playoff spot right now, but
they're only like 2 points out. Aren't
they're right there. They're tied with the Rangers. It's just New York's got a game in hand on them, but their 5-on-5 stats have been terrible this year.
But the league is so jammed.
It's
up.
It's a weird year.
And the flip side of that is the teams that are not very good that are going to miss the playoffs, and they're thinking about the draft, and they're thinking about the lottery, and Rasmus Dahlin, his visions of him are dancing in their head. A team loses one game on one night, and they drop like 4 spots in the draft. It's crazy.
Yeah. Because
things are that tight amongst that group of teams that are between the playoff spot and the absolute bottom of the league.
Well, think about it, though. If the Leafs played in a different conference or even in a different division...
Oh, my.
Oh, if they're in the Metro,
they'd be in deep
trouble.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, that's the truth. Like, you start to look at it, like, they were sitting pretty a while ago, and they're going to be fine because of the division that they play in. But if they were anywhere else, this is a middle of the road team.
That's well, the truth. I think that's likely true because they would play those teams more. But that said, the actual numbers, they'd be second in the Metro right now with 57 points. Now, teams behind them would have games in hand.
Yep.
But there'd be heat. There would be heat, without question.
But it's not like, you know, if they moved over,
all of a sudden they'd be the worst team in the league.
Right now, their playoff spot is virtually guaranteed because Montreal, Ottawa, Detroit, Buffalo, Florida have been
so bad,
running from not very good to totally inept.
Mm-hmm. Bottom 7 and 8 in the league, all of them. It's incredible. Like I can't recall the last time we saw a division like this so top heavy with Tampa and Boston. And even the Maple Leafs being included in
that's so bad.
And then the rest are done.
Central.
Yeah. Chicago's in last. They got 50 points.
Yeah.
All right, Bob.
All right, boys.
Good seeing you.
Thank you.
There's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider, brought to you by Finance It. Add a payment plan to your tool belt and break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with
Finance It.
Get to our best bets brought to you by
Proline.
Overdrive continues
after this.
Now, back to Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog.
Jonas and Masters will be sitting over there. You and I will be over here. Special guest referee in the middle.
I'm not going to say who it is.
And it's going to be trivia. And it's on like Donkey Kong. 6 p.m. Friday. Don't miss it.
Who's designing the
question? Uh-oh, Masters. It looks like I sunk your battleship.
How about that clip? Jonas and Masters were playing Battleship at the MasterCard Center earlier this afternoon. You can find the whole video on our Instagram account at TSN1050.
It's actually horrifying to watch.
Like, we were awful in the Source commercial.
Yeah.
But they make us look like Redford and Pacino.
That's true.
You guys and throw someone else in there.
Well, I agree.
De Niro. Like, they are horrible actors, the two of them.
You guys are De Niro and Pacino in Heat. Remember that movie?
Oh, Val Kilmer, our boy in there, too.
Not now.
Why is Val?
Not anymore, Val Kilmer.
He got stung by some bees.
He's a beekeeper right now?
The picture of Val Kilmer out there
with the caption,
I used to be Batman. It's the greatest pick online of all time.
Hey, remember when I was Batman?
That's exactly what it is. Hey, remember when I was Batman? All right, we're giving away a pair of Leaf tickets. Leafs Islanders, January 31st down at the ACC. TSN 1050 is going to have a private box. You can win tickets all week on Landsberg in the Morning, Leafs Lunch, and right here on Overdrive. And we're going to open up the phone lines, 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Throw a number out there between 1 and 10.
4.
Caller 4 at 416-870-1050 picks up a pair of tickets to hang out with the TSN 1050 crew. January 31st down at the ACC to see the Maple Leafs take on the Islanders. Time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. I'm on Pittsburgh tonight. I think Montreal beats Colorado.
You think they break the streak?
Yeah. Colorado, I was impressed. They've been very good. But
no, I'll bet you personally $20 right now.
All right. I think we had a previous bet that got
that
determined.
I won?
Which one was that?
I don't know.
I think you won.
I'm pretty sure I won that one.
Yeah.
I think it was from a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember. We'd have to look back at the tape. And I'll go with Dallas at home against Florida. Throw down 20. You can score 77. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN1050Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So this could be the end of the road for me on Overdrive because I'm hosting Leafs Lunch tomorrow.
Wow.
I'm hosting Leafs Lunch tomorrow.
You're going back to where it all started. You and I started on Blue Lunch years ago.
Was Blue Lunch originally only an hour?
Yeah, it was 1 hour.
Yeah, it was 12 to 1, and then I was solo 1 to 4.
Yeah, because I would just roll in for an hour. And then we went 12 to 2, and then you joined us, and they switched us to Leafs Lunch, and then we went to Overdrive.
Mm-hmm.
3 hours. So I've gone from 1 to 2 to 3 hours.
You've slowly chipped away at a three-hour show.
I'm a no guy on 4.
4, that's in the future.
No.
At some point, they're going to come to us and say, can you do 4?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's your response?
There's not enough money in the world for me to do. Can you imagine me for 4 hours?
Every day.
1 extra hour, you couldn't do that. I'm doing 5 hours of radio tomorrow.
You will be so crabby. Oh. I'm telling you, if Bobby Webster, no, who is it?
Not Bobby Howard Webster, Beck. Howard Beck.
If Howard Beck...
Are you going to stay in this building the whole time?
No, I'll probably go to the mall or go for lunch or something.
Go to a movie, go do something, get your mind away from it.
I think it's Craig J. Button, so Craig and I haven't seen Craig in a while.
Oh, and he was wound up last night.
I'll be a guest on Leaf's Lunch.
Okay, we'll call you. Why don't you come in for a couple hours?
Kiss my ass. I'm not coming in here.
Well, Andy apparently has something like, I don't think she's got laryngitis, but something serious.
That's not good.
I can't joke around about that anymore.
She's got the Gurdeep flu.
Last time I did that, I chirped Gurdeep, and I'm pretty sure Gurdeep hates me now, so.
He does. He's not happy with you.
Remember
we
saw him?
He had a serious problem.
I know he did, and we made light of it, and I was kind of like, well, that's rather convenient. We saw him at the Christmas party a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
I don't think Gurdeep was really feeling the vibe.
I've had
a word
with him about you, and he's not
I don't think he's happy.
Bad words.
He wanted to stab me with a fork.
Bad words were exchanged.
Yeah, he wasn't in the Christmas spirit when he saw me.
No.
Well, he's got a voodoo doll of you.
Yeah, I'm in trouble down the road. So
yeah, exactly.
Andy's off, and I guess, I don't know.
Well, hopefully
I'll be in there tomorrow on Leaf's Lunch.
You'll be good. You were good today.
Thank you. I'll be horrible tomorrow on our own show.
Yeah.
But from 11 to 1 tomorrow, I'm going to kill it.
We're gonna call you out.
4 to 7, I'll be brutal.
It'll be fine. Lots to talk about.
We're looking forward to it. We're out of here. I'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Go to hell. I'm not.